I can hear myself, but I can't feel myself. I'm gonna feel myself like Tweet.
Hi guys, welcome back to this technically our third episode, but this, let's say it's our first one of the Offsiders FC podcast. It's yours truly, Raymond. Born in East London in the past life. I just wanted West Ham to win. They lost, so we can skip that.
They won.
No, Crystal Palace. No, oh, West Ham won?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Jesus. Okay. Oh, yes. Wow. Okay, wow. Chicharito, Felipe Anderson, and another one. I forgot who he was. But yeah, they did win. They win.
But it's like I said, it's non-factor teams, to be honest. They don't, I think they'll both fight for relegation. Maybe West Ham might be like a mid-table team, but it's not. All right, we don't, not much expectation for them. We have United Fulham. I'll let you start with that because you probably have much more to say than me.
United Fulham, honestly, good game. Very good game. The way we play was not that different to like what we've been doing like in the past few games. Mm-hmm. But I mean like Arsenal, who did they play against? Southampton or Crystal Palace and Young Boys, like the last five games, we've been like playing good. Not like super well, but like well enough to win games. But the difference was this time we were able to score like first and in the first minutes. Which is like something that Mourinho has been like complaining about because in those like five games that I mentioned, we have been able like to create the first chance, like the first big chance. Mm-hmm. We're not able to take it, and this time I think it was Young. He got like a lucky break. He on his side, he comes inside and then he was playing on the left, so he comes inside and then he goes through someone's leg and comes back to him and he scores. So that was like the 10th minute. I felt like the players were like relaxed enough to say, okay, cool, now let's play.
Yeah.
They carried on with the same like energy, the same like organization. And I feel like Fulham, who came for a point, let's not just kid ourselves. That's always the case when people like when teams come to Old Trafford who are not
Old Trafford. That's a thing.
Yeah. It's like yo, we want to like make an impression. We want to. Those are like bonus games for them, right? So yeah, like true. The maximum I can get, the better it is. But like most of the time, they set up to get a point. So we like after the first goal, it really like flowed. It was really really nice to see. I will say this. Rashford, like in this past month, he has been like immense, like huge, like the combination of him and Herrera have been like the reason why maybe we have like turned the corner in terms of how we play. The pressing, like more intense. Not only that, but like just like having the feeling that they want to do something, right?
Yeah.
Because at times, like in the previous game, like the first few weeks of the season, we played games like West Ham away, Brighton away, where you just feel like the team doesn't, no, they didn't have it. They weren't there. Like they weren't present.
Yeah.
But like the minute they could put Herrera and Rashford just like presses like his heart out every single play. So that's good for him. I'm happy for him and I'm happy he scored as well. He and Lukaku as well, so scored at home. So happy with the 3 points, which is not something that we've been able to do like in the past few weeks.
Liverpool plays against Bournemouth. Like I kid you not, like I wake up early. I wake up every day around like 6:30, whatever. Mm-hmm. I woke up and then I got like the the notification. I didn't even care that. I mean, that's how much I didn't care. I didn't even know we were playing at 7. Like I didn't know. Going in, I was like, okay, this is a sure win. Like, I know how Bournemouth are playing, they've been playing a bit well, but I've been really confident, as you can see, about my Liverpool for once, just because after all those years of like bad luck and bad like transfers and stuff, I kid you not, I was surprised that Salah scored 3 goals. But it's a huge because he hasn't been playing well lately, I'm not gonna lie. And then against the Cherries, he pops 3 goals, you know, so it's huge because now he's like tied for like top of like a top scorer.
Yeah, with Aubameyang?
Aubameyang, yeah. Which is also surprising. I'm surprised he has that many goals as well. Like, I didn't know he was scoring like that, but it's good. Like I said, good for his own confidence. Cause like I said, fans, they talk a lot. They always berate players for no reason. Like they're doing what they love for a living. When you think about it, I was excited about that. I was also excited about like the clean sheet.
Yeah.
And bizarre stats. We've won. We've conceded the less goals across the 5 leagues. I saw that stat. It was quite surprising because you've heard of Liverpool defending for the past years.
Yeah.
It's so yeah. But what main points is like basically like solid 3 points, another clean sheet. I was happy that Salah also recognizes that James Milner. You know.
Oh, that was nice, man.
My captain.
I won't lie. I'm not gonna lie. When I saw that, like that moment in the interview, I was like, this is why this guy can potentially one day like win the Ballon d'Or. If he keeps on like playing at this level,
yeah,
he's such a nice guy. And I feel like a lot of people recognize that like you can make like can build the momentum on that.
So it was amazing. I was in my feelings. I'm not gonna lie. It was cute stuff. and then because Milner, like honestly, Milner. He symbolizes like what a real football is for me. Because of course it's always good to have like the technical ability, but the passion, you know, the athleticism, like he embodies everything I like in a football player. He's not like a big character as well. Like of course in the locker room he speaks up like he's our captain. He was captain. Like, he's a vice captain. He goes in for the hard tackles. He let like the opposition player knows he's there. Quiet guy. Yeah, he's like he even has a Twitter, Boring Milner. And then it's really funny. But I just love the guy. I love the dude. So it was a good win. I was quite happy to be honest because we ended up being top of the league because another match happened that was quite, I guess, controversial maybe. But it was good. But basically, yeah. So it's Chelsea versus City. Mm-hmm. I remember what I was telling you last week. I thought City would like wash the floor with them. I thought it would even be like competition. I thought like within the first 20 minutes they would blitz them and like the usual thing City does. But what did you think about the game?
I thought honestly it was a huge win for Chelsea in terms of like being able to survive the first, like, I would say 30 minutes. Because the first 30 minutes, like, they were all over them. Like, they were all over them.
Yeah, true.
City were, like, all over them. And then they were able to, like, create chances on Sané's side, like, on the left side. Yeah. But I think, honestly, that they were not clinical enough in the first few minutes. They created so much.
Yeah.
And they usually put them away. So it was either, like, a bad day at the office, which I think it was, or Chelsea were just like able to like suffer. They said like, "Yo, this is the best team in Europe." I think David Luiz mentioned it in his post-game interview. This is the best team in Europe right now in the world, so we gotta suffer. It's not like we're not gonna play the same way we play like against other opponents. We're gonna accept to suffer sometimes, which they did. I think the first 30 minutes, and they were not able. One thing I noticed, they were not able to go past like City's first line of pressure. So like. Yeah. Because they both played like with a false nine, so Sterling was playing in the middle in at the beginning of the game. They were not able to go past that because every time they got the ball back from City, they just got pressed so much.
Yeah.
Especially like Conte, I noticed like he was not able like to get the ball off his feet. Like every time they got the ball back, they passed it to Conte, he was not able to find someone or he was not able to find a way out.
Bad passes, yes, often, yeah.
But what I liked about Chelsea in the second half, because they went in, I think they scored 1-0 before the halftime, right?
It was like during extra time, yeah.
Extra time, okay. So after halftime, I noticed that instead of trying to like play in the middle, because it was so congested, like everyone was playing with a false nine, so everyone was basically the game was in the middle, right?
Yeah.
I think what they did is they pushed Kante more on the right. Basically, he positioned himself between Sané and Delph. I think it was Delph was playing.
Delph, yeah, Fabian, yeah, it was.
And then they were able to create like to go around City's like five in the middle instead of going through, right? Because like the first half, yeah. Like that's why they make so many mistakes, like trying to get out of their like the block, if you want. So they made that adjustment. I was impressed that it worked, because usually Pep reacts like usually like pretty quickly when he notices something. And but yeah, I thought it was a solid win for Chelsea. Yeah, what do you think about the game?
So I agree with you. Like the first 20 minutes of the game, I was like, okay, this is going exactly as I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. I think especially at one, Sané had a chance. Remember when that cross came in? He should have hit it like first time with his left foot, and that would have been a goal. But you know him; he likes being fancy. But City were in total control. I was actually like, because I was focusing on Kante, because of course, like you know, like of course they were saying how he hasn't been performing well lately.
Yeah.
So then he was struggling. Like you were saying, as soon as he got the ball, he didn't know what to do with it. He would lose it. A lot of bad touches. But that's because of the press. And literally, like, yeah, for like first 15 minutes, I don't think Chelsea crossed like the City midfield, and then it kept going, and then literally, once Chelsea got comfortable, like in the third, the final third, that's when they scored. That's literally it was the first chance that they had. They scored, It was a good win for Chelsea, because not only the 3 points do matter, it was good for Liverpool as well, which is why I was kind of happy. I think City came in overconfident. They have that burst of energy the first 25 minutes. That's usually when the teams just capitulate. They said, okay, this is it, City, kill us. I think once they missed that window, then Chelsea got comfortable, because remember, they were at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, great win for Chelsea. Great win for Liverpool as well. top of the league. And then we're going to stay there until the 31st day. And then, you know, Liverpool's going to probably bottle it. I don't want to get too excited. But good win. Honestly, good win. I was happy. And hopefully Chelsea can keep it going. But what do you think is next for both teams now? Like, you think... I personally don't think it doesn't change anything for City, to be honest. No. I think they're still going to come confident against opposition, because they already have their set first 11 City, and then the pieces can change, but it's set. And then like for this game, Raheem was playing striker, which is
Pep said that he wanted, because Chelsea usually defends so high. Yeah. Like they're like back four is, because they tend to have like more of the ball, so what they do is like their last line is so high, so he was expecting that to happen, and he said I wanted to have someone who's good one on one, like versus someone like Gabriel Jesus, who's more like a box player, so he wanted someone who could like go into challenges one on one versus Luis or Rudiger, and then bring the ball up that way. If Chelsea played like super high, but they did not, so he was kind of surprised about that. I think that Chelsea were willing to just sit back, they were able to recognize the moment, like
contain them, control the game
by just saying right now they're probably better at us at doing this, at attacking us. We're not gonna expose ourselves. We're just gonna control them and control the spaces. So that's what happened, and then. I don't think Sterling was in the game that much, because he didn't have the chance to be in the game, honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly, as you said, I'm not worried for City. I think they'll still go on and win the league, personally.
Yeah, same.
I just think, honestly, like, week in and week out, they're so much better than everyone else.
That's disgusting, man.
And they have as a manager, like someone who just not let them breathe. Like, I can tell you that, like, I'm pretty sure, like, I don't need the train today, but tomorrow morning, he's going to be on them. And still, I think they're just 1 point off you guys, off Liverpool, right?
Yeah, only one.
So, yeah, so I'm not worried for them. Chelsea, I think it's a good window. Just keep on being inconsistent, because that's just the nature of Chelsea football club. I think they lost against Wolves, which was...
They did. After a keeper mistake, yeah.
Yeah, but the Wolves are good. Wolves are good. They're a good team. I'm not saying they should not lose against Wolves, but like, that's just Chelsea for you. Like, they will win big games and then they will just sleep up the next game. So I think for Chelsea, they'll keep on being inconsistent, but winning most of their games.
Right, okay.
Keeping up here and there. But
for Chelsea, I think this season is a write-off for them. I don't think... they're not playing to win anything. Maybe League Cup, but it's a write-off. Because I think they were similar to what Pep did his first season. They just want to kind of absorb his style, Sarri's style, you know, the smoking cigarettes and all that stuff. they're focused on, like, adapting to his style of play. Next season, they're going to be a threat, though. That I guarantee it. But this season, I think it's... I still expect them to make top four just because they still have quality, and it's Chelsea, right? But I expect them to be inconsistent. They might even brush through. Yeah, maybe make fifth four. They'll fight for the fourth spot. I think Champions League.
I'd honestly say that the top three should just be like City, Liverpool, Tottenham, and the rest will just fight for the fourth
spot.
Yeah. I honestly can't see Chelsea being consistent enough to be like a secured top four. But again, that's just speculation. That's just like the way.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's just the way they use. Like, it's based on the way they usually play.
Similar to you, the first three, they're quite like, I think, not the first two, to be honest. I think Liverpool, City, you know for a fact they're gonna be like the top two.
Yeah.
Third spot is open. I think it's open. Third and fourth is open. So I think it's gonna be between. United, I might even put United in that mix, to be honest, because
we'll see.
It's all speculation, but I expect like the last two, I expect United, Tottenham, Chelsea, and Arsenal to fight for them, and United might do a late surge, I think a late comeback, just because it's United, man. Just I'm tired of seeing United being mid-table. Like, that's not United. Like
we are as well. We're tired as well.
I'm tired. Like, I hate United with a passion. But yeah. I like coming into United game. Remember, like, I think it's a while ago because Liverpool also been struggling. When I was, like, 2008, 2009, both teams were flying. So those matches were looking forward to it, right? But then these past years with United playing the way they are, but it's all right, though. It's we'll see. It's all speculation. All I know is for now, Liverpool's on top of the league. I'm damn sure wish they stay that way, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we never know. Yeah. But it's good that you mentioned, because then we can segue into our next segment, like, I guess, the big Champions League game week coming up. Because Tottenham versus Barcelona, of course, that's huge. Like, I feel like it's back to the old days where English teams are really in it, right? Which is why I like. Of course, it's must win for both teams. Although I think even with a draw, Tottenham could go through, right?
No, they have to win. They have to win and hope that Inter. I think there is like a goals combination, but I know they have to win at Camp Nou.
Oh yeah, you're right, because it's right now they're tie. They're tie versus Inter, but I think it's probably head to head because they have the same goal difference. They have the same amount of points. It's a must-win because I expect Inter to win against PSG.
Away.
Cause, they will. Yeah, they will. So it's a must-win game for Tottenham. And honestly, granted the group they were in, I wouldn't be mad about like getting kicked off from that group. Because Barcelona and Inter, they're like big. They're big. They're big horses in this. Like, I think Inter, they're on the come-up. It's true. But they're a strong team. Like, it would be bad. Of course, I'm not saying they should be happy to leave like so early in the Champions League, but wouldn't be that mad about it, to be honest. Especially Spurs, knowing Spurs, it's not like we're not talking about like they never won it, to be honest. Never won Champions League. They never did anything. I think did they? Yeah, I think quarterfinals is the like the furthest they went, right?
I think so, yeah.
So I mean, yeah. So getting out of the group stage is also already in, an achievement for them. I obviously, you know, me, I cheer for it. I love English teams. Like, I don't want to.
I watched Inter against Juve on Friday. They were really good. Like, I love the way they play. I didn't know they played that well, honestly.
Oh, they're amazing. Inter, amazing.
Like, I didn't know like they played that well. Like, I was so mad. Like, I was so impressed because I know Spalletti, right? Spalletti used to be like the Roma coach. And then he went to Zenit. I think he went to Italian football like a national team, and then Zenit. I was like, probably this guy like old school, just, you know. But like, they play so well. Like, they I hate using the term, they play out from the back. They really like the ball. Like, the ball is their friend. They really like to use the ball well. So like, I was impressed. So I wouldn't be surprised that they progress, and Spurs do not. But I would obviously prefer Spurs to go
Of course, it's tough.
English teams, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them like move on, like Inter move on, because they play quite well. So
it's like I see. Yeah, it's Tottenham kind of shot themselves in the foot in this one. But still, what's your prediction for that game, Barcelona and Tottenham?
It's a tough one. We know that like the fans want Valverde to rotate the squad. Mm-hmm. So they might actually rotate the squad and play with the young players, such as like Munir and then Acuña, the young guy that came on last week. But I would expect Barca to win this or to draw it. But like, I know Spurs are gonna give it all.
I think that's it for actually the recap. Now let's delve into interesting topics. So you of course saw what happened to my man, the main guy. The best English player to ever play the game, right? Raheem Sterling. Mm-hmm. He's being. I tried to really like read their lips. I couldn't really tell what they were saying. But look at their faces, it wasn't something nice. And I think, to be honest, he's the way he's been treated by the English media for the last couple of years, disgusting. There is the agenda being made towards him. And I feel like it's to counteract the fact that the fans really want him to start every game. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the Spanish media is probably like, hey, simmer down. Like, let us let us do our thing. Because at the end, and I truly believe, like the newspapers, like publication for me, it's a dying art. With the internet, it's just dying. It's not like, so I feel like now they go for the clickbaits. The stuff that they know that are going to get players to react. And it's sickening to me when they start using like the racial war thing, the racial, just because it's, you should be doing better. And that's not journalism at the end of the day. Like, how can you link a death of somebody that gets stabbed to Raheem Sterling getting a tattoo of a gun? Who basically is saying, because he shoots with his right foot, his father died by gun death. So it was as a way to like say, oh, I can overcome this. And even like when he was saying the meaning, the Sun, the worst paper, like I hate the Sun, by the way. I don't know if you ever read some of their articles. They were saying, because I actually saw this post by Kyle Walker. It was when they were explaining the tattoo, they said like, oh, again. So they added in again to make it seem like, oh, he used to shoot guns and stuff like that. It's sickening. And then I'm a Liverpool player, fan. So I saw it started before Liverpool. Even like, who does he think he is? Demanding money. Like, okay, let me tell you something. At your current job, if you're performing well, you're meeting your targets, you're performing over like what is required from you, it's okay to ask for like a pay raise. That's normal. Right. And then the team wasn't performing as well. So I feel like it's probably our fault, Liverpool fans. Just because the way we treated that situation, it wasn't the greatest. Like I did, I said some ridiculous thing back in the debut of it. I just feel like football is a game. It's played with heart. It's played with passion is involved in the game, and I do agree with it. But let's not turn it towards a player. I mean, the badge. I don't mind the badge. I don't mind if you're mad per se. Like Liverpool's United. I don't mind if you're yelling. Like you're mad. You're yelling at the badge, the opposing team. And when you come to like target a specific player. And I'm pretty sure, those fans weren't saying nice things to him.
No, for sure.
Right? And you could see the look on their face, like, that anger. I don't know where it came from. Like, I think it's...
Maybe they were winning, I think. They were, yeah. At that time, they were winning. Right?
But to be honest, it's the fact that it was at Chelsea. And Chelsea are known to be racist. Like, they're a racist club. So it's not that big of a deal. Like, I was expecting that. But it highlights, like, that entire, like, agenda against, I guess, black young players in the football, you know? Come on, Sterling is a wonderful professional, on and off the pitch. At this point, he takes care of his family, he takes care of his mom. I'll forward you the thread that I saw. It's disgusting, honestly. Like it breaks my heart. But whatever, that's my view of it. You know, I spoke a lot. I took it to heart because I hate racism. Is not nice, especially in sports. Racism should not exist in sports, just because I feel like. Humans, we're vile, okay? We're always noir. Well, I feel like the one thing that interconnects everyone is sports, so I don't think it doesn't belong in there. But we'll see. Apparently, action has been taken by the police. We'll see what happens to that.
But I reacted this time?
Oh, yeah.
Like he reacted and he gave like the two examples of the two City youngsters, like doing exactly the same thing, but like being treated differently in the two articles, right? And my thing, like my reaction to this is, let's say, or let's assume that like Daily Mail, The Sun, all those newspapers, they like, let's assume that they will always be there and they will always act the same way. How we are too young, like two young black people. Like how can we possibly impact, or how can we possibly make a change, basically? And I think, like with like the internet, and this is one of the reasons why like I wanted to do this podcast is we all have a voice. We all we have this platform where we can all like express our views and say how we feel about the game, how we feel about player, like state our views the same way that journalists do, because as you said, newsprint is just a dang industry. Like no one is reading papers anymore. Everyone goes on their phone, right? So and then when I go on my phone, when I go on Twitter, I have the choice between listening to someone producing content like Tillin. I have the choice between like listening to what you are saying or reading this article about by The Sun, right? I have the choice now. So we should be like we should take this as like an invitation to express ourselves and to kind of have an impact as well, right? And this is why I think, you know, the platform that was launched, I think, 2 weeks ago, Otro. So basically, it's like Otro's, like O-T-R-O. It's just like a platform that will allow players to express themselves and to show who they really are outside of the pitch.
Wonderful. That's great.
So this is, I think this is why this kind of platform are will be successful, because now the players have can go direct to like to the fans. They can they can show them like, hey, this is what I do when I'm not on the football field. This is what I do with my friends. And we as fans would then have, again, we have the choice. Am I going to read an article written by The Sun about what Raheem Sterling does when he's not on the field? Or am I actually going to consume like what he is saying, telling me, right?
Yeah, of course.
And it's something, because like, honestly, I'm not going to lie. I used to be someone like when I really started like to be seriously into football, like I think like 4 years ago, like first thing that you do as a fan that they really like want to consume football like 24/7 is you're looking for information.
Yes.
And the only way you're going to get information is going through the newspapers. I used to have like the Daily Mail app on my phone. And I will go there, and they will have like articles about United every single minute. So they will find something.
Yeah.
But then at some point, I think when Van Gaal was having a bad time and all that shit, he demanded from the journalists like to apologize. I don't know if you remember that. It was like, you guys should apologize because you've been treating me like shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that press conference.
I was like, yo, this is it. Like I deleted the app from my phone. So I was like, okay. I found this guy on Twitter. So this guy buys the rights for all the press conferences, right?
Oh, wow.
So he shows you every single press conference by your manager, by like, I think like Klopp, Guardiola, Mourinho, like basically all the Premier League clubs. He buys them and he puts them on his YouTube channel. So in terms of getting information about your team, about the squad, about
listen the to club, the manager.
You just listen to your manager, basically.
Better, yeah.
And you follow the players on the socials. Like some players really like to show like what they do outside of the pitch.
Mendy.
Like Lingard, like
the young ones do, but like
they show you. And also like there's a platform that I like to, I don't know if you're aware of it, like the Players Tribune.
Players Tribune, yeah, they release articles now and then. That's amazing, yeah.
Actually, they did an article with Raheem Sterling, and Jericho was, because it was just before the World Cup, and I just said they blamed him, or they put a lot of the blame for the Euros 2016 failure on him. And then they basically did this interview. They were doing a series about like players that should have a good World Cup, or that will have a good World Cup. And they went to him, and then he was like, can I trust you guys? Can I trust you that you're gonna put exactly what I'm saying to you into the article? Or like, are you gonna try like twist it like everyone else?
Bars.
And so basically, my piece is, first of all, we have the power. Like, part of the people, as we were saying the other day, part of the people, we have the power to shut down Daily Mail. We have the power to shut down The Sun if you're not consuming their shit. Because newsprint newspapers, they leave off the ads that they put on the website. They put on the actual copy of the newsprint. If I don't fucking if I don't click on that link, they will not make money.
Yeah.
And then within 2 years, they will just shut down. So we have the power to just consume football, like to get news differently. And there are so many platforms. There's so many people trying to like achieve that. Either one by like the players themselves, like putting themselves out there, and also the platform like Ultra, giving the basically the power to the players, like yo. Talk to your fans directly. No middleman. Basically, no middleman. Like no one trying to like twist your words or show a reality that's not yours.
I will agree with that. But do you think it's viable? Because you do like clubs have like I guess agreements with certain media and stuff like that. So
for sure,
for them to relinquish that to go to like another like because Ocho is it run by players?
No, it's run by a guy like I don't know exactly what he did in his past as a I don't know if he was a former player, but he has basically an agency, marketing agency. And now
then that would work because like I think in the like okay, so I'm going to another league that's quite popular, NBA. they don't have that many, like, I guess, they don't have problems between players because, one, for say, like, I guess because they're out there in the States, right? Like, mm-hmm. the culture is different. But also because players wouldn't have an issue. They have this, let's say the NBA, like the Players Association.
Yeah.
Who's really vocal. That's where you go if you say, oh, like, you think, like, there's any bullying or you think there's any... Basically, it's like the union.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's what they should, the players should do, because I know they are silent. Sometimes it could be by their own club. Don't say this because they are coach. Because at the end of the day, the clubs own their rights, right? Like they choose what you do. So
yeah, that's what they buy.
For it to happen, but once again, if the clubs are businessmen, right? Like those chairmen, like they see dollars. So if they see that the consumers are not there anymore, it will switch. Yeah, exactly. It will change. And then, like I said, they think they see dollars everywhere they go. So they'll probably figure it out. But I think. Like you, it's really like, I really like what you said, because it's true that before, like 20, 30 years ago, the only way you could have information back then, before you talk about before Google, before Twitter, all those, before the internet, basically, it was either through newspaper or radio.
Yeah.
It's easily controllable, right? Like yeah. What you release out there and stuff like that. So, now that we are, I don't know. I never read things. Like I used to be like you, like be on Daily Mail every day. That was like entertainment for me. Then I realized it's nonsense. It's they create anything. And I do believe that they still have to have like that one guy that they really trust within like I guess each media outlet.
Yeah, sure, man.
But I think journalists should be like they should have repercussion for like publishing the stuff they do sometimes.
I feel like probably the players or clubs can sue a journalist, but then he's protected by his corporation, who basically are like huge news outlet.
Which I don't even a freedom of speech. I think because it's a great area, right? Where it's like defamation is where I don't know. It's a great area, so it's hard to. That's the thing. They should be sanctioned at least by the outlet, because I honestly think the outlets only see the clicks. They don't care about the content.
Yeah.
Like I said, like at the top ladder, all they see is dollar signs. They don't care about human lives. They don't care about all of that. They always see how can I make more profit. That's what they see. So once we as fans, supporters, like you say, like step away from that, we don't consume their product. They have to switch it up. They have to switch it. So I hope that happens. But we have to like give like some slack to Raheem Sterling. I mean,
I hope that like back to what we were saying last week, like people have feelings.
I partake. Like don't get it twisted. I do partake in the banter when I see it's funny. But like I said, like it's sometimes it gets serious. Like I would never step in a football club. I pay for my own money. I would never let's say go to Anfield and berates other players. No, I would go there to cheer for my team. I want to create a certain atmosphere, you know? But to see what these six, like the six geezers did, like they're dead, like that's somebody's dad. What? Like I would be, that's somebody's dad. Like I would be ashamed that my father would do that type of stuff. Like, the players have feelings. We have to like stop thinking of them as like millionaire robots that just, live better than you.
That's their and job. They were better at football. Not go
exactly
go
exactly right. No, I mean it's so yeah, but it's that's it for me. Just we'll see how it goes. Like I said, charges have been laid. We'll see what happens. Probably another sanction because we all know Chelsea is racist anyway. So
you know, like it's back to the thing that you remember what they did and when they went to Paris and then they
in the subway.
Yeah, the black guy. Like they'll probably ban the guy like for lifetime ban, but like yeah. What does that change?
Exactly, yeah. If
that change. Yeah. And same with like last week, Aubameyang got like a banana like deal like on like you're gonna buy the guy you're gonna like ban the guy for being on your stadium. Okay, that's great. That's like first good step. But then in terms of like how we can change the whole thing, how it can affect the whole thing as a collective, I think that's something that we should really think about. And I think us trying to consume and then get information differently will be something that like could play a key role.
Epic, yeah. No, it's the way to stop it is to stop the narrative going, because at the end of the day, the people that do still abide to like the old ways, like the newspapers, they believe whatever they tell them. So if they tell you that this guy is a cunt, that guy is whatever, but so he's a bad person, but he's making 4 to 5 times your salary per year. Right. So I think so if we cut it at the root, so basically all the bad information that's being spread, we cut it, I think it will solve something, because I know people like they're getting fines and stuff, like no one wants that, right?
Yeah.
But then the fact that somebody's like thinks you can't even say stuff like that on that's the pitch in front of the player, that's what messes me up, man. Like online, I can understand online, but
even online, that's not okay.
Yeah, it's not.
I get what you say, like difference online and in person. Like still, like it should not come to your mind. Like what the fuck?
That's mad.
Like, it's just like, mad. Yeah. It's just mad, and I honestly hope like Raheem is like has a good like entourage around him, and then they take care of him, because basically I think that guy is getting abused like every fucking week.
Yeah.
Every week, different grounds. That's his life. Yeah. So I hope he has like a good system around him, and then they take care of him.
But I think it's also part of, like English media is often like they always have this one guy they put like the like mark of Kane on them, and then you're like they did that with Beckham, they did that with Rooney for a while as well.
Rooney,
the entire John Terry thing when he was racist. So I think like, it's probably to sell papers, yeah, you know, for the clicks, but it's there when you realize how you're affecting somebody's life, this is a different way to go about it. Like,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah.